friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
No one is more committed to her craft than Mary Kay Cabot when it comes to the Browns. Is that true? Jeff, you believe me when I say that?
Well, yeah. What a bunch of stuff this guy is spewing, huh?
Hi, Mary Kay. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
We are doing great, too. We read you every day in the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Make sure you're on board with everything that she has to say, and she always has great stories each and every day, so make sure you read her. Okay, Mary Kay, let's talk about that game. It's just such a weird game because the offense played good enough to win, and so did the defense, and yet it just stares at me, that 17-16 score. Just your general thoughts on the game.
Well, when you say the offense played well enough to win, it did, but it also turned the ball over twice, and you can't do that. That negates all of the good things that you do. And obviously, those two interceptions were not entirely Joe's fault. I would say they were mostly the fault of the receivers, although that first throw, he was under complete duress on that throw. So it really wasn't necessarily anybody's fault. It was two guys trying to make a play and Jerry Jeudy diving to do what he could to try to catch that ball. But as he said, if it hits you in the hands, you have to catch it. They always say that. But that would have been a pretty tough catch under those conditions. Anyways, so down for down, yes, they did play really well. Joe threw the ball really well and did some really good things. But you have to look at the offense and say it didn't do its job effectively enough because it turned the ball over twice and only scored 16 points. So I just don't know about that. And then obviously the kicker. So there were four mistakes that cost them this game. Special teams, offense did not come through. The defense absolutely did come through for them in this game, but you all have to work together.
What did you think of the defensive effort against a real good offensive team?
I thought it was amazing. I thought they were absolutely dominant in that second half and really dominant after that first drive, which the Bengals caught them off guard with and neutralized Myles Garrett by running the ball so much. So that was a smart strategy, but obviously it didn't hold up for the Bengals, and the Browns came through. They took over, and to do what they did in the second half, allowing only 7 total yards, minus 18 in the fourth quarter, 3 points, 1 first down, you can't really ask for anything more than that except to get a takeaway. That is the area that they weren't able to do exactly what they wanted to do and that they set out to do this season, and that is to take the ball away. So that's one place where they could have come through.
Give me something other than Myles Garrett that really impressed you, something that maybe you didn't expect.
I would say that the young guys did a really, really nice job. It's not that I didn't expect it, but you never really know how a rookie is going to perform in their first game, and especially against a high-flying offense like the Cincinnati Bengals. So I think you have to really give kudos to Mason Graham and Carson Schwessinger for how well they played in that game. I also thought Greg Newsome going back into the starting lineup at outside corner did a nice job there. Now he's got to do that week after week after week, and of course you know that the Ravens are going to try to exploit that this week, but he held up really well in there, and that's good for him because he asked for that starting role again, and he got it. Not the way he would have wanted to get it, but he's back out there, and he really has a lot to prove, so good for him.
Mary Kay, our favorite subject, wide receivers. The plays that led to interceptions, clearly big mistakes. I thought Cedric Tillman had some nice moments. I thought Jerry Jeudy looked like Jerry Jeudy. I'm wondering if something happens to either one of those guys, this unit still looks really light to me. What do you think?
Well, I think that it's a work in progress. I think it's a young offense. Look at some of these skill players. You've got Isaiah Bond out there. You've got Harold Fannin out there. So I think as they go along, they're going to get better. I know they're going to get better. And then you've got a veteran quarterback that's going to be able to help these guys improve And what they need to do is they need to communicate more. I remember back when Amari and Joe were playing together in 2023, they were constantly texting each other back and forth and talking about things. And Amari was giving Joe ideas. And I think that, Jerry's going to have to do some more of that with Joe. I think he's going to have to really get with Joe and just start talking about things. Those two guys did not have the best game in the world together. And they need to work through that now, and they need to get it together as fast as they possibly can. But I think in general, this offense is going to be better week by week just by virtue of them growing together, getting a little bit older, more mature, more experienced in this scheme. This was the first time they put this scheme out on the grass. And I think the reason why it performed as well as it did with 290 yards for Joe Flacco is because of Joe and the way that he was able to hold it together with this young supporting cast.
Was there any talk, or have you heard any buzz about maybe auditioning new kickers today?
I haven't, but I would be doing it. I'm sure by the end of the day, we'll probably be hearing that some of them came in or see it on the transaction list later. I mean, I don't know how you don't bring in some new kickers, even if just to have a, you know, backup arsenal for yourself. So I would do it, and I probably would have a new kicker on the field on Sunday. I don't think that I would want to go into Baltimore, and it's going to be a hornet's nest in there. I don't think you want to have a situation where you lose another game because of an errant kick or a missed kick or whatever the case may be. So I would probably put Andre maybe on the practice squad or keep him on the roster if you have to, but I would be bringing somebody else in here this week.
Mary Kay, do you think Dustin Hopkins lost that job, or did Andre Schmidt beat him out?
You know, I think Andre won it because the Browns have a youth movement going on right now, which we kind of just talked about. And I think they are looking at this year as an opportunity to transition to their second wave of their Super Bowl window that they want to get into. And I think they probably look at some of these young guys as key pieces of that Super Bowl window number two in this regime. And I believe that they were looking at Andre as that guy for them, as their potential kicker of the future. They have a lot of guys like that right now on this roster, and I think they wanted him to be one of them. And he might still go on to be that guy. They really, really like him a lot. But I think right now, in this moment, in this time, that they might want to look at someone else.
I'm wondering, I'm just trying to get your feel on this. Excuse me, if they walk into Berea yesterday going, oh, man, it's just same old thing. Like, we're finding ways to lose. And I also wonder what the Flacco factor is there, too, because like everything that I had heard when Flacco was here the first time was that, like, negative thoughts and not that he had changed just the whole feeling of the locker room. And I'm wondering if they're able to overcome the loss and be able to turn the page a little bit faster and try to look at things with, I don't know, in a new paradigm, I guess, is probably the best way to say, okay, this is not same old Browns, and we're not going to let it be, and we're going to move forward and see what we can do against Baltimore.
Well, when you have Joe Burrow coming out after the game and saying, we stole one, then I don't think you have to feel that bad about your entire performance when you watch it in the film room on Monday. I think that they probably felt really good about a lot of things. How can you not feel good about what the defense did? Again, they only allowed one first down in the second half, and they forced three and outs on six of the seven drives in the second half. If you keep up that kind of performance over the course of the season, you're going to win some football games. Once again, I've said this so many times until people are sick of me hearing it from me, and that is, you can't lose the turnover battle and win football games. You cannot do that. And in this particular case, Joe pretty much stayed away from the interceptions himself. I thought that there were times where he just threw the ball away when he needed to. They played it safe at times, and that's good. That's what they need to do with him. He has to be somewhat of a gunslinger at times, but also somewhat of a game manager. And that was going to be the whole thing with him. Now the defense is going to have to come through and take the ball away. But I think that that is what this came down to for the most part, except for the missed kicks. Even if you did have the interceptions, but you make those kicks, you can still win the game. But moving forward, the defense has got to find a way to be in the right place at the right time, to have a nose for the ball. Some of these young new guys are going to have to be opportunistic and do some things to dig that ball out of there or grab some interceptions, because if the offense is going to be turning the ball over, the defense has to match it.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us from the plaindealercleveland.com. Devin Bush, Isaiah Bond had the offseason issues, Mary Kay, yet they were on the field in week one and we didn't hear anything from the NFL. Did that surprise you? And do you think we're going to hear something from the NFL? And will we hear something about Quinshon Judkins, or do you think we'll see him on Sunday?
Well, it's hard to say. Everyone is very mum about all of these issues. The only thing that I know right now is the NFL is interviewing Quinshon this week, and the other two guys are still under review, their cases. And sometimes you don't hear about the fact that their cases are no longer under review if they wrap it up. So I don't know if we actually will hear anything definitive on those or not, or if they will just kind of go by the wayside if they don't get disciplined. I mean, Devin Bush right now, he has still a pending court case in December. So, you know, that one is still an active situation, whereas Isaiah Bond, his charges were dropped. So, and I don't think the Browns are expecting discipline for Isaiah Bond, but the NFL conducts a very thorough investigation in all of these situations. I've also heard that Quinshon might have a pretty good case just based on some of the video evidence. But once again, we won't know for sure until the NFL wraps up its probe, which should be this week.
Mary Kay, last question for you. Thoughts on this Ravens game, especially knowing they gave up 22 points in that last quarter against the Bills and maybe a little shell-shocked on defense?
Well, I think the Browns could make it a game based on what I saw them do against the Bengals. And it just depends on how the Ravens are going to respond to this. They're going to be at home. They're going to be celebrating 30 years of stealing the Cleveland Browns out of Cleveland.
Don't you think that's kind of tacky?
Yes, I do.
It's very tacky.
I just think that they probably could have picked another week to do that. But anyway, so they're going to have that going for them. They're going to be fired up about all of that. So it depends on how they respond. The Browns are either heading into a hornet's nest or they are walking into a football team that is watching this Cleveland Browns film and thinking, geez, these are not the 2024 Cleveland Browns coming in here. So I think it's actually going to be a good matchup.
Mary Kay, as always, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And we will talk soon.
Thanks, Mary Kay.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. She is Mary Kay Cabot. Make sure you read her every day in the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Mary Kay Cabot just joined us from Cleveland.com. Interesting things that she had to say about the kicking situation, where she would have kickers in today auditioning, and that she thinks that maybe they should put Schmidt on the inactive roster for this week, or maybe, you know, try to lower him down to the practice squad and bring in another kicker for this game against Baltimore. And then the other point that she brought up, and I'm going to talk about both these things, but And Dan said something interesting in the break, too, about this, too. Like, I get really aggravated when I think about
anything.
The Ravens in particular.
Oh, okay.
So I just wanted to make sure.
Only team in pro sports I really despise, Andy.
Well, I'm trying to be nice about this and by using the word tacky, but it's the Ravens, so why not? I mean, Art Modell's the guy that took them there, so tacky should be, you know, appropriate for this. But, you know, on August 18th of this year, they put out a release. It's called Ravens Forevermore. That's what this game's all about for them. The Ravens unveiled their 2025 brand campaign. It's called Ravens Forevermore as a part of their celebration of their 30th season. They should have spent 30 years in prison for this. The campaign recognizes the Ravens' widespread and lasting impact since their 1996 Baltimore arrival, while showcasing aspirations of this year's team to make the 2025 season one that's remembered forever. Our 30th season is just the start, said Ravens Senior Vice President of Marketing Brad Downs. Oh, good job, Brad. The Ravens have solidified themselves as a pillar of Baltimore sports over the last three decades, and this year's team is just excited to add that to that remarkable legacy. The legacy that should, and then the next line should be, the legacy of how we stole a team from Cleveland the same way Indianapolis stole a team from us. The starter forever, Ravens forevermore. I just think it's kind of horse, you know what, that they're doing this against the Browns. And I understand that they probably wanted to do it in their season opener, and I get that. But, I mean, did you really have to pick the Cleveland game to do this? Is that, I mean, you want to talk about just like poking the bear on something. And the problem I have with the whole thing is that I care, people my age care, anyone that rooted for the Browns more than 30 years ago cares. I just think it's a real move on the Ravens to do this against the Browns. I just think tacky is like the word I'm trying to use. I don't know why I'm fired up about it because I should let it go. We've had a team since 99, but the thing that bothers me the most about them still to this day is they knew exactly how it felt when their team got ripped off and moved in the middle of the night and went to Indianapolis. And then, you know, they took a team from somewhere else. Why didn't they get the expansion team and why didn't we get to keep our team? Like, why do I feel like this is yesterday? It's such a wound because we've had, you know, we just haven't had success since then. I think if the Browns would have had success in this new reiteration of them, which isn't so new now, right, 99, that I think we would all let it go. I can't be alone in the way I feel about the fact that, what a bunch of clowns the Ravens are. Yes, good organization. Yes, we love Ozzie, but as for what he did in Cleveland. But, I mean, did they really have to pick this game to celebrate their 30th season? That's a giant middle finger to all of you. I'm sorry, Jeff. It bothers me.
You feel better now?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. Classless. You couldn't have picked any other game. No, let's do the game against Cleveland. I mean, I kind of understand it because it's their first game of the season, but it's just tacky.
They have a team. We have a team. Let's go play football.
I know, but that doesn't bother you at all. I know nothing bothers you, but
no, that's, trust me, I work with you.
Oh, thank you. One thing bothers you. Dan, you think I flipped my lid on this, no, right? That I shouldn't make a big deal about it?
I don't like the Ravens. I don't like the fact that our team moved there. Okay. I think this team, had it had better ownership, more competent business management, would have been here and probably would have won the Super Bowl that they won in Baltimore. Because the guy making the decisions was our guy, Ozzie Newsome. That said, they have a team, we have a team. We went a short period of time without football. It's been bad since it's come back. That's not Art Modell's fault. That's the fault of everybody who's been running this organization since it came back. So I blame Art for the team leaving. I blame Art for being a bad businessman. I don't blame Art for the failures of this team since 1999.
Dan, yeah, and you think I'm crazy too. That's right.
I'm not going to tell you how to feel.
Andy, feel how you want to feel.
Thanks for how you feel.
I'm not alone.
Let it out, Andy.
I know I'm not alone.
Wait a minute, you already did.
Oh, of course. I mean, there's going to be a bunch of people.
It's tacky.
It's totally tacky, except for one thing.
We've had a team for 26 years, and they've had a team for 30. So most everybody playing in the game wasn't even alive when all this went down.
No, I know. So I know.
I'm not going to get all fired up about a little celebration. I'm more fired up about a running game that averaged 2 yards a carry.
I mean, CBS is going to put a highlight package together that's going to show coming back from one of the breaks involving it. It's going to get everybody watching all hot in a biscuit, and you'll go from there. Like, just take a deep breath. There's nothing you can do.
Fine, it's just a reminder. It's a reminder why they're the rat birds. That's all.
Yeah. See, there you go. I'm not going to tell anybody how to feel at any given point.
That's right.
It makes me want to tell everyone to fax the Ravens office or the NFL office to tell them that this is just tacky.
Does anyone have a fax machine?
I know that's what the problem is. The problem is I'm still faxing.
Can I give you some better news?
Sure.
Better off a carrier.
I'm telling you, I cannot be alone on this topic, though. I just know I'm not. Go ahead. Yes.
Well, of course it's. We think it's tacky. They think, it's been 30 years.
No, we're being really nice by saying tacky. It's way worse than
tacky. It's our first home game, and we want to honor the team showing up, which is probably how they're looking at it. I highly doubt there are people inside of that organization.
You don't think one person in that organization said, hey, man, this first game is against Cleveland? No. Somebody in that office knew that.
I'm sure
somebody in there knew that they were going to be like, let's have our 30th season celebration against Cleveland.
It might be just a me thing. I highly doubt anyone in that organization is that diabolical.
I think you're wrong. I would think Dan's absolutely right.
You don't think one person in their office said, you know what? Maybe it's a bad idea that we do this against Cleveland. Because, you know, I remember what it felt like.
That's not when what
I
Dan was, said.
What did you say?
I said it again.
I highly doubt anybody inside of that organization is that diabolical. They looked at it and went, oh, it's our first home game. And it ended there.
My guess is
no way. Somebody had to be smart enough in their office to say, this game's against Cleveland. Ha ha. Somebody said
their
that.
Snidely whiplash mustache.
There's no way. I'm not saying that that's the way it is, but nobody in their front office said, you know, maybe not a good idea to be have our 30th season celebration against Cleveland. Man, I hope the Browns stick it right to them this week. I've never wanted them to win more than I do this week. But the players don't care. You're right.
They can't change the number. It's 30 years. My guess is that they had already been planning a 30-year celebration, and then the schedule came out, and it's like, oop, it's against Cleveland. Well, we're doing it in the home opener anyway, so here we go.
Yeah, sitting there in a corner window office, twirling their snidely whiplash mustache and going,
Roger,
I say,
thank you for granting.
We can really stick it to them.
Thank you for granting our request, Roger. We really wanted to stick it up their wazoo.
Really stick it to the Browns.
We took your team.
We should have Mayflower Day when they come in, when they play here. We should honor the Mayflower Moving Company for getting them out of one of the not so nice cities in America. I used to say so.
Eric DaCosta just sitting there in a room going, maniacal laugh, maniacal laugh.
Let me call Ozzy and make sure it's okay.
Who cares maniacal what Ozzy laugh. Thinks?
No, that was my Eric DaCosta calling Ozzy to check in.
It just adds fuel. That's fine. Let them add fuel to the fire. The problem is, and the bigger problem is, I am on an island because the players don't give a rat's, you know, bird view of this game about this stuff. They got to play football. I get it.
Andy,
the only reason the players get mad at each other now is because guys trash talk at each other. That's it. Or spit on each other. That's another classic.
I'm on an island. Do they have any spitters in Baltimore? All I know is I absolutely hate the fact that one of my favorite guys in the NFL now plays for Baltimore, Derrick Henry. I hate it.
Because you can't like him anymore?
No, I
Did
think
you
he's
drop him off your fantasy team?
Heck no. I think he's awesome. And now he plays for Baltimore. And was really good last year.
I want to talk about this kicker thing that Mary Kay talked about, but also Jeff has his college quarterback collection, so we got to talk about that too. How did the college quarterbacks fare this week moving into the next week and then towards the draft? So we'll do that. That's like we want to call it your scoreboard. It's your college quarterback collection.
I don't know that we've branded it.
Well, brand it for me, my friend. You enjoy it. Brand it. Phelps's glimpse into the future.
Not going to come up with something here in a minute. Be held to it. You want to do something like that? Drop it on me after the show. I'll come up with something good.
Dan and
I will put something nice together. We'll get Ted on it.
Wait. Ted will put something nice together. Let's be honest.
Dan and I will come up with a concept. We'll give it to Ted, and he'll make it magical.
I will ask politely.
There you go. Yeah, that's why you guys are so special. Wait.
There will be a please and a thank you.
Absolutely, there will be.
I want to take a phone call really bad. Maybe I'll take it when we come back here after the break. All right, we'll do that when we come back. Hang on the line if you're there. 216-474-0092.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Basket of Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. We're going to get to Jeff's quarterback collection here in a second. I do want to take one phone call just to see if anybody's on the same page with me about how tacky it is that the Ravens are deciding to hold their 30th season celebration against the Browns on Sunday. Dwayne, Cleveland, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Andy, how are you today?
I'm okay. I'm mild. I was good until Mary Kay reminded me of what the Ravens are doing on Sunday.
You know what? I totally agree with you. I don't always agree with you, but today on this thing, I think it's so low class that they would do it on a game that we are there. They could have did it any other game, especially a city that was heartbroken that somebody did the same thing to them and they did the same thing to us. That's why I hate that city.
Amen, brother. Dwayne, you're right. We don't always agree on everything, but today we are brothers in arms. Thank you, Dwayne. Thank you.
Have a good one.
You too. All right. That made my day.
And Phillips, like, diner place is pretty good in Baltimore.
Is it?
Yeah.
Where are they?
Good seafood.
They were still, last time I checked, they were ranked unbelievably high for venereal diseases. I did check that. I was looking. I like to read the CDC stuff on that.
I can laugh.
They were way up there. At one point, they were number one. So I don't know if there's a Lombardi trophy for that, but it is what it is.
But how could the peoples of the city with the most sexually transmitted diseases
do that to us?
Uncle Lesk, explain.
Explain the sexually transmitted diseases?
How could you find that so fast?
Quick predicts, my friend.
Oh, man.
I have a whole list of Les drops that are just right there.
You are so good. One more, Jeff, and then let's get to your list. How's that sound? Harold's in Cleveland. Hi, Harold.
How you doing, man?
What's up?
Hi, Harold.
I'm well. I want an honest opinion.
Okay.
Do you believe the season is pretty much a wash, even though the world does? I don't. I'm a diehard fan, of course. But
I think it's a wash?
Yeah.
The journalistic part of me thinks probably, but the fan of me says no. It's not a wash.
What do you mean a wash? That they don't care, Harold?
That they're not going to make the playoffs?
Exactly. For one, not going to make the playoffs. And it feels like everyone feels as if they're not putting their best effort forward as far as trying to put a good team out there. I feel as if the kicker was picked for a reason, and I honestly think he's going to do better when he get another chance.
Harold, I like your optimism. You're a friend of the show today. Thank you, Harold.
Thanks, boss.
All right, take care.
He better do better. You missed 33 and 36-yard kicks in consecutive games. You're soon thinking, I would love to be an insurance agent. Thank you very much.
I'm going to stick my head in the fire one more time. Jeff's in Cleveland. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, you know, I'm the one who picked, when you guys had the segment on who you should trade Deshaun Watson for, I'm the one who picked J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, Jeff.
I picked him today.
Man, are you smart?
I'm the one
who picked J.J. McCarthy. Man.
Jeff. And not only that,
yes.
The Browns did, man, they did well yesterday. They did it. They did a good game. And you want to know something? The Bengals got to be the luckiest team in the NFL. They beat us off pure luck. We were the most skilled team.
All right, Jeff. We're not going to do corrections for that phone call, so we'll just move forward. Give me the quarterback. The lowdown on the college quarterbacks, my friend. Thank you.
The lowdown.
The lowdown with Jeff Phelps.
Well, we're kind of, nice music. We're kind of
marching band.
We're just kind of keeping an eye on the guys who are the quarterbacks who probably are coming out for next year. Slight ranking as to where these guys might be. And it's just kind of to keep us all informed because I think, Dan, you think, do you think they're drafting a quarterback next year? I just don't see
Jeff, it. I think they're drafting a quarterback next year.
You do too, Andy?
Yeah, I just hope it's a low-round quarterback.
Why would you do another one of those?
You may lose one of the two you have, or you might trade off one of the guys.
Nothing better than having
it means Flacco might
third,
be back
fourth,
next year.
Fifth, sixth-round quarterback, so you can sit there and say, hey, you did your 4 years, now good luck to you. If you can get a quarterback coaching job back at your alma mater.
Okay, keep going.
We all know the stats about first-round quarterbacks.
Yes, we do.
So this was the week in college football where teams played other teams that stunk. It seemed there were a lot of those games. Arch Manning bounced back after playing against Ohio State. 38-7, Texas beat San Jose State. Arch was pretty good. 19 of 30, 295, 4 touchdowns. He had one interception.
Should he be against San Jose State?
Well,
I'm just asking.
Your guy Julian Sain was against Grambling.
Yeah, and he was perfect 15 for 15, broke the school record for best start. Yeah.
Lenora Sellers of South Carolina. And can I just say something here? Ding, ding, ding. They played South Carolina State, another school that they shouldn't be playing.
Okay.
They won 38-10. And Sellers, they called off the dogs. He was 12 of 19 for 128 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions. I watched about 10 minutes of Lenora Sellers because I wasn't overly familiar with him. I watched about 10 minutes of video of him yesterday. Oh, my. Andy, this guy can play. And you think of Lamar Jackson with a bigger body and maybe a bigger arm. I was so impressed watching him. The only thing I thought was, in about 7 of the 10 minutes or so of just, and this, I just casually watched, and about 7 of the minutes, he was avoiding a rush. I mean, he was getting no protection. He's ducking out of the way. He's spinning out of a rush. He's throwing on the move. He's making things happen. And man, can he flat out run. He was fun. Garrett Nussmeier from LSU. They played La Tech, the alma mater of one Karl Malone. 23-7. LSU was a winner. Very good for Nussmeier. 26 of 41, 237. Had a touchdown and an interception. Our guy, Drew Aller. Penn State played Florida International. 34 to nothing. Ugh. Drew was good.
Drew was good in the postgame interview, too.
19 of 33, 200 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. Dan's guy, Cade Klubnik. And I say Dan's guy because Dan can't figure out why everybody loves him. I understand. They beat Troy 27-16. He was 18 of 24, 196, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. A couple of other guys that we're keeping an eye on here. Fernando Mendoza of Indiana, formerly of Cal.
Mm-hmm.
They played Kennesaw State. Why? I don't know why Indiana did that. 56-9, Hoosiers were a winner. Mendoza threw 4 touchdowns, 245 yards. And then if you're looking for a guy who hurt himself, Sam Levitt of Arizona State. They lost at Mississippi State, and he was 10 of 22 for 82 yards passing. So that doesn't help you any. That's not exactly what you're looking for, is it?
No.
I didn't think so. I check with other folks on this stuff and see, you know, what they think, updates and everything else. I would think Arch Manning is still the guy sitting at the top of the quarterback class right now. But I checked in with ESPN and their early rankings. Mm-hmm. Every one of their prognosticators, you know, their draft guys, and it was more than Mel Kiper. They had like 4 or 5 guys. Number one quarterback in their draft. And most of them didn't list Arch Manning because they think he's not coming out. But one did. They had Arch second, the one guy who did, behind Lenora Sellers. And so I'm really intrigued by Lenora Sellers, and I think he's a guy to really keep an eye on. So I would go right now, Arch Manning, Lenora Sellers, Nussmeier, Drew Aller, right there, kind of fighting it out for number 3,
mm-hmm.
and Cade Klubnik after them. So Klubnik maybe 5th, Fernando Mendoza 6th. If they get down that low, you're probably not getting excited about a quarterback, although you might have thought the same thing about Dan Marino back in the day. But, man, Lenora Sellers looks really intriguing. If you're sitting there at work and the boss isn't around, Google, look at video, and you'll think, whoa.
Can I add a guy to your list from over the week?
Yeah.
John Mateer, Oklahoma. Anybody watch the Oklahoma Michigan?
We already had that guy here.
Did you say him already?
No, his name's Baker Mayfield. Baker's doing just fine now. The Browns decided that wasn't what they wanted, so I wouldn't put him in there.
I'm not in on what you're saying there.
NFL Draft Buzz has Mateer ranked 10th.
Okay, I mean I remember watching him at Washington State for a little bit last year. He can sling the ball. I'm trying to remember the games that he was playing those games against. And he's at Washington State, which is not in a weird spot, too.
If the Browns are in a position.
Or was at Washington State. Now he's in a great spot at Oklahoma, and that's a great win over Michigan for him over the weekend.
That's great. My thought is.
The wins don't matter?
My thought is basically this. If you're the Browns, and you have 2 first-round picks next year,
mm-hmm.
and you're probably not going to make the playoffs this year. Let's just be frank.
Okay.
We all know.
We want a quarterback taller than 6'1"?
I'm not even going to say that.
Okay.
I would assume that you're really hoping that you're going to get one of the top three or four quarterbacks in this draft. And you don't need to be reaching down to number 8, 9, 10 on most people's lists.
Oh, I'm saying watch to see if he goes up the list.
Okay. And maybe he will. You know, maybe he will. For his sake, I hope so. Good luck to him. But if the Browns end up not getting Arch Manning or Nussmeier or Sellers or Aller, I would think it'd be a surprise. How's that?
Okay. I was wondering what Oklahoma's schedule looks like down the road here, too. I'm going to keep my eye on him.
I just got a text from a buddy of mine, Jeff in Cleveland, and he said, can Lenoris throw? Yes, indeed he can. That's Lenoris Sellers of South Carolina. Jeff, go look at some video. I hadn't seen him play but like two or three plays until watching some stuff. And that just watching video doesn't give you any great indication of anything other than your eyeballs tell you, can this guy play? Can he not play? This guy can play. And he had a really nice arm. He had nice, when he was in the pocket, he actually had some pretty nice touch on the ball. And runs well. He's 6'3", 240. He's a big guy. And part of the breakdown of him was he has really good feet because he was a primo soccer player. And he was a forward. So at 6'3", 240, can you imagine that guy on a soccer field?
Sounds like a striker to me.
Yep.
Actually, probably a defenseman, probably center back. But
well, they said he was a forward, Dan.
Yeah, that's good to say.
He was playing up front.
He's 6. What is he?
6'3", 240.
Usually with that size, you're either a center back or a forward.
What about goalie, man? Block up a lot of the net.
Not if you can move and kick. As funny as it
sounds, especially on the U.S. side, you actually want a little taller.
Taller?
U.S. is really good at getting their hands on goalies. Yeah, you want like 6, probably 6'4", 6'5".
So the two guys in the draft so far, you know, of what I've seen so far that I'm most intrigued by are Arch Manning and Lenora Sellers. Closely followed by Nussmeier and Aller.
The highs are awesome, and the lows are, oof, yeah. What are we doing here?
People don't put together highlight videos of guys and put in too many bad plays. I'll dig some of those out. But, man, his highlights just jump off the screen.
He's fun.
He's really good.
He's fun.
Man. I'll be, I'm looking at Oklahoma's football schedule down the road. You know who's on their schedule, Jeff. Yep. They'll take on the mighty Golden Flashes October 4th in Norman.
My God, glad we'll to see the alma mater picking up paychecks.
We will get a good chance to see what John Mateer looks like against the Golden Flashes. Then he has a little game against Texas the week after. South Carolina, Ole Miss, man. They end the season at LSU. He's got a chance. I don't know. I liked him over the weekend. I mean, and maybe just a little bit of homer because they beat Michigan. But, I mean, I respect Michigan, so... I don't know. It was a bad weekend for college football, though, too. There were too many blowouts. And Jeff, I don't even know how you... I don't even know how you could care about that Ohio State game, Jeff. I can't believe you.
I didn't.
Oh, I did, and I still do. What were you going to say?
This is what week one always used to be.
Week one.
This used to be the old week one where you'd like, all right, college football is back. Oh, two of these games are watchable.
I understand the financial. I don't understand why these schools... I don't understand why the smaller schools with the lesser programs play the big guys. I understand the financials. And I don't know why the big guys play the lesser guys. Especially,
telling you, the big winner are the players at the lesser schools. They should be the big winners from these
games.
Yeah,
and said they're the big losers because if they're fortunate, they come out without broken bones.
Johnny, over the top. Come on.
It's true.
Jeff, it gives some of these guys an opportunity to showcase their talents. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and gives other guys a chance to have their seasons come to an end.
Such a pessimistic way to look at these games.
Andy.
It is.
You have a son who plays sports.
If you're a good player, Jeff, there's always somebody like this game this week against Ohio State. Like, you're going to tell me the starters at Ohio probably couldn't be no worse than second or third team maybe at Ohio State? Probably. Maybe not Ohio State. But they'd have an opportunity to be second, third, fourth stringer at Ohio State. Starters for a Mid-American Conference team. That's why those games always seem to get clunky in the beginning, and then as you hit the second half, that's when all the depth just starts to take over against some of these other teams when they play like that. Plus, you never know when it's going to be an Appalachian State game. So it makes college football great when an underdog can pull off one of those wins. Now, we didn't see any of those, but you're right. In some way, in your own mind. Thanks, Jeff.
Later, Andy.
216-474-0092. Anthony Castro-Vince, our buddy from MLB.com, is going to talk a little Guardians with us here in just a moment.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.